enough for what he's already done. Amen. Bible tells in James chapter 4, beginning verse 1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for this time you've given us. Lord, I pray, God, that we'd be attentive to your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the good move of the Spirit of God this morning already. We felt your presence, God, and we thank you for it, Lord. And God, but we want to know more about you, Lord. We want to get in your word, Lord. We want you to tell us what we need. God, it'll help us in these days, Lord, to draw close to you and be humbled, Lord, and be in the position you'd have us to be. And Lord, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to do that that's pleasing in your sight, Lord. Just meet each need. Pray for those that are sick. Thank you, God, for answering prayers about folks, Lord, this week, God. Lord, I pray you just continue to bless and lead and guide. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Amen. Here in this passage of Scripture, I read several verses. I'm kind of going to draw a thought from the latter part of what we read here, but I just couldn't help but read all of it because there's some thoughts I want to give you here in the first part of this too, because sometimes the way we think about something and the way we approach things is completely different than the world's approach. Like I was saying a while ago, praise God, we can lift our head up high and we can realize even though maybe some are going through some tough times financially, it ain't nothing like what others are going through. Amen. God's done that for me a whole bunch. Amen. There's been many times I've tried to throw my little pity party and I've tried to feel bad about everything and feel, you know, like, you know, that everything's falling apart. And then God shows me somebody that's in a whole lot worse shape than I am, probably in a whole lot worse shape than I'll ever be in. And boy, it makes me thank Him. It makes me praise Him and thank Him for what He's done. The Bible tells us, in fact, in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, it says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, or your ways my ways, rather, saith the Lord. I mean, there's sometimes the way we look at things and the way we would approach things is a whole lot different than the world would, and a whole lot different if somebody that's not saved. And you say, well, preacher, I ain't approaching it like that. And well, you know, if you need to get saved this morning, we need to do that, praise God, first. And then God will help you, amen. Look at this thing in the right way. The title of the message this morning, I'm going to give you that real quick. The title of the message is, sometimes the way up is down. Sometimes the way up is down. You say, man, that's just confusing. Well, that's what I said. God's thoughts are not your thoughts and His ways are not your ways. We need to find God's ways. We need to find God's direction and we need to yield to God's direction that's in our life. Many times there's things that happen. There's things that transpire and the Bible tells us He reigns on the just and the unjust. And there's some things that happen and transpire and it's all in the perfect will of God for our life. Then also sometimes there's some things that we bring upon ourselves and that's still in the perfect will of God because God says He chastens His children. He wants His children to come to Him. But then also there's a wonderful pattern that the Lord gives us and a direction that God gives us in His Word. Well, I did say sometimes. Not always is it like that. I mean, you know, the way to living right and to doing right and everything is not for you to go in the wrong direction. Amen. So sometimes, in fact, it's in these passages that we read here. The Bible tells us there are several things it's mentioned. He mentions wars. He mentions fightings. He mentions lust, killings, adultery, friendship of the world. Now, that's a downward path. I'll tell you that right now. That's a downward path. And that's not the way up. Down that path is the wrong path. That's the wrong path. Like I said last Sunday, I believe it was, hey, there's a path that leads to destruction. It's a broad path and a crooked path that leads to destruction. But praise God, I ain't on that path no more. I got saved, praise God, and I'm on a new path. I'm on a new direction, praise God. I'm on a road that leads upward. I'm on a road that's a straight and narrow road that leads to heaven, praise God. So it's always that case, but I want to give you a few times in the Word of God that we find it is that case, that the Lord allows some things to come in our life or some things come in life because of the direction that we're not following maybe. And then there's also a pattern in the Word of God that we can follow, that in these cases, the way up is down. Look at the last verse that I gave you. Verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. That's the right pattern right there. That's the right direction. I want us to end up there in a little bit. In fact, it's kind of a different message. I'm going to give you an example of three different men in the Bible, and each one of these can illustrate a direction, a path that God, or because of them disobeying God, or just because of them obeying God, amen, they started headed down, and it sounded like a downward path and a downward direction in their life. But through that, God was able to lift them up. God was able to direct them, and God was able to help them in their lives. First of all, I want to say that sometimes the way up is down because we're brought down because of trials and tests that come in our life. Sometimes we're just brought down because of trials and tests that come in our life. It's not that maybe we're disobeying the Lord. It's not that case. We're doing what we're supposed to do. And along there's some things that come along our way. And it is in the will of God for us to go through that trial. It is in the will of God for us to go through that valley and through that test in our life. And praise God, if we'll just go ahead and be obedient to the will of God, on the other side we'll be lifted up. On the other side, we'll rise up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I mean, some folks look at it like, hey, hey, every mountaintop, there's a valley on each side. Look at all them valleys you have to go through. But the pessimist says, praise God, for every valley that I'm going through, I just came off a mountaintop and I'm headed to another mountaintop. Praise God. That's the way to look at it. Amen. I like old Zig Ziglar used to say, and he's a tremendous motivational speaker. He's also a pastor and was the president of the Southern Baptist Convention for a while. But Zig Ziglar used to say, he said, why do we always call a traffic light a red light? He said, I don't do it. He said, I refuse to do it. That's negative. He said, I call it a go light because it's green just as much as it is red. Well, maybe not in Cherville, but anyhow, when you have so many red lights, you feel like it's the other way around, don't you? But anyhow, we ought to look at it in the right way. Praise God. We ought to look at it in the right perspective. And I want us to look at a man by the name of Job in this example. I believe that Job, the Bible tells us in the beginning of the chapter there that he was doing what was right. Amen. The Bible tells us that he was one that was perfect before God. He was going in the right direction. He had concern for his family. He gave sacrifices for his family. And he was concerned about the ways of God and the things of God. But he wasn't exempt from going through trials. He wasn't exempt from going through tests in his life. And he went through many trials and tests in his life. I mean, he went through probably everything that anybody could ever go through. I mean, he went through a test of losing everything that he had. He was the wealthiest man in that area, and he lost everything. Talk about losing some things, but this man lost everything. And then he lost his family. And even his wife turned his back on him and said, you ought to just curse God and die. And then he lost his health on top of all of that. Amen. He was going through a trial. He was going through a test. And he didn't understand it all the way through, no doubt. But yet, he still retained his integrity with God. He still retained his faith with God. And it's recorded in the Bible. In fact, it's recorded in this book that we're reading from this morning about his patience. Amen? Over in chapter 5, it says, "Behold, we count them happy." Now, I'll tell you what I'm talking about this morning. The world don't know anything about it. "We count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job." He said right there's an example of somebody that went through trials and tests and came through it, and he was brought low in it. He was brought down. But that way down was God's way to lift him up. That way down was for God to help somewhere along the way. I mean, he got to the end of that thing and he began to recognize how big God was. Amen. I mean, God started showing him all these things and these great creations and everything and all that God had done, and began to talk to him about that. God was saying, "Hey, look what I made. Look what I've done." Amen. God was saying, "Look at this, what I've done. Job, what have you made? What have you done?" Oh, God helped lift him up. Praise God. He began to see God high and lifted up. He began to see God lifted up, and he was better. Praise God. He wasn't bitter after those trials. He was better. We're brought down sometimes because of trials. We're brought down because of tests. And we don't understand it sometimes. We say, "Why in the world am I going through this? I was doing all right. I thought I was doing what I was supposed to do. I thought I was living for God." And maybe you were. Maybe you was right on track for the Lord. But there's some tests and trials, praise God, that's going to strengthen your faith. That at the end of this thing, you might not see it while you're going through it. Job didn't see it while he was going through it. But God chose to allow it to happen in his life, that there might be a test, that he might have some patience at the end of that thing. Yeah. Amen. The patience of Job. Mother's talking about that the other day, talking about the patience of Job and what an example that is for us to follow. That patience. The world don't understand it. The Bible tells us over there in Romans chapter 5, verse 3, hey, listen, if God's in control, you can be patient. Amen. If you realize God's in charge, you realize how big God is, you can be patient about some things. Listen, he says in Romans 5, 3, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulation." I mean, the world knows nothing about that, glorying in tribulation and being happy because we're going to endure some things. Bible tells us, "Blessed, hallelujah, are they who persecuted for my name's sake." That's a trial and tribulation we're going through. He says, hey, glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Because of that experience you're going through, because of that test and trial you're in, somewhere along the way, God's going to lift you up, and the hope of God's going to be established in you greater than what it was before you went through that test, before you went through that trial. Before you went through that experience, I don't know if we can even relate to what that Job went through. But God just says there's an example for you. And the circumstance may not be nowhere near as bad as what he went through and what he experienced. But yet, that was a trial that brought him down. It was a test that brought him down. But God said, "I'm in charge and I'm in control. And on the other side of this thing, I'm going to lift you up. On the other side of this thing, praise God, there is hope." Amen. There is hope. But then not only that, sometimes the way down, the way up is down because of trials and tribulations that have brought us down. Then not only that, though, sometimes the way up is down because we're brought down because of disobedience. Sometimes we're brought down because of disobedience. The Bible tells us in the book of Jonah, amen. You say, "Preacher, I figured you might head that way." All right, that's a good. I use about the best example I can think of tests and trials in Job. And about one of the best examples I can think of somebody just directly disobeyed God is Jonah. Hey, you know God wrote this book. Amen. I mean, under God wrote this book. Amen. I mean, there ain't no way in the world if Jonah had wrote this book, he'd have left out some stuff. Amen. Jonah left some of it out, but the failures of man is in here in the Word of God. I mean, if man wrote this book, he'd have left some of those things out. He'd have changed some of those things. He'd have skipped over some of those things. But inspired by the Holy Ghost, Jonah said, "Oh, I hate to tell them what I did. Oh, I hate to tell them what happened there and what all happened in my life, but I got to do it." Holy Ghost is a nudging me, and the Holy Ghost is saying, "You better put that in there, Jonah." So he says here, Jonah chapter 1, verse 2. Wasn't too awful long ago. I remember Gerald read this. He read from old Jonah. Verse 2, Jonah chapter 1 says, "Arise, go to Nineveh. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But he didn't arise, he rose up. That's what the Bible said. You see, he rose up against God. God said for him to rise and do the will that I've sent you to do. He needed to do the will of God for his life. But he rose up against the Lord. He didn't arise. He rose up to flee unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. Notice he went down. He went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarsus. And he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it to go with them unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. All the time he was fleeing from the presence of God. Because of disobedience, he was going to be brought down. Because of disobedience, he was going to be brought low. He went down to Joppa instead of up to Nineveh. He went down into a ship instead of going up where God wanted him to do. He went down. It's always a downward path. When we get away from the Lord, we get away from God, because disobedience will bring us down. Praise God, I still believe this book. Amen. Amen. I still believe the Lord, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. We get away from the Lord, the chastening hand of God is going to be upon our lives. You mark her down, folks. And we may not recognize it, and we may not believe it, and we may not accept it, but God's word's still true anyhow. Like it, amen or not. Hey, he says he went down to Joppa. He went down into the ship. And then down in verse 5, the Bible tells he kept on going down. Hey, man, devil gets you headed down. Somebody said, you give the devil an inch and he'll be your ruler. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Don't want to give him an inch, praise God. He went down to, and the scripture says in verse 5 that they were afraid. And the Bible tells us about Jonah in the latter part of the verse. It says that Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship. And he lay and was fast asleep. And this wind came, this trouble came on the sea. He had done went down to Joppa. He had done went down into the ship. And not only that, he's down in the hinder part of the ship. He's went down. I mean, he's just went down. He thought he went down as far as he could go. He thought he had fled. He said, "I'm just going to get in this old boat. I'm going to get in a corner. I'm going to get all the way down here in this corner and just stay right here. I'm going to be away from everybody else. I don't care anymore. I'm just going to stay right here." But God wasn't through. There was another step down and another step down. In fact, there's five steps there. He goes down to Joppa. He goes down to this boat. He goes down the hinder part of this boat. Then they throw him over the boat. And he goes down into the sea. And then he goes down into the belly of the whale. Hey, the Bible tells us in verse 15, he said, "So they took Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging." And verse 17 says, "The Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights." He went just as far down as he could go. And it wasn't just physically down. He was spiritually at the bottom. He had spiritually completely bottomed out. Because of disobedience, the Lord was allowing him to go down where if he had listened to God, he could start headed up. Amen? Look, you don't believe me? Look at the next chapter. He says that Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the belly of out of the fish's belly. We'll come back to that, man. That's when he's starting headed up.
But he says, he cried, I cried by a reason of my affliction unto the Lord. He heard me out of the belly of hell. Cried I, thou heardest my voice. Boy, he'd done went as low as he could go. He said, I'm in this mess. He said, spiritually, I'm separated from God. That's what hell is. It's a place that you're separated from God eternally. And also it's a picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us too. He went into the grave and he was there 3 days and three nights. He come out, praise God, victorious. But you see, he made five steps down away from God. But praise be unto God, when he went down like this right here, he was headed up. Amen. When he went down like this on his knees, when he got down on his knees, praise God, now he's starting to head in the right direction. Amen. Somebody might say, oh no, you need to get up, Jonah. Just, you know, you need to have some self-respect. You need to, you can make it through this thing. You just keep on. Folks do that sometimes. They'll just be as stubborn as they can be and walking away from the Lord. But praise God, if you'll let the Lord just go ahead and humble you and get out on your knees, you can start heading in the right direction too. Amen. He did, praise God. Not knowing what in the world was going on, but I tell you what God did. God told that great fish that he had prepared for Jonah. He said, hey, you got a Baptist preacher in there. You got to start headed up to the shore and you got to spit him out. Amen. He not only prepared the fish, but he directed the fish. Amen. And he comes there and he's on his way up, praise God. When he gets down on his knees, he's on his way up. Somebody say that's as far down as the devil can get us, down on our knees. Amen. And then we can start headed up out of that trial. We can start headed up out of that thing. We can start headed up out of that being disobedient to God, whatever it is. So he's on his way up now. He comes up out of the belly of the fish. He comes up on the dry land, and he starts headed up to Nineveh to preach the word of God. And when he stood there to preach the word of God, when he stood to tell that short message, praise God, he was headed up just as far as he can head up right there. He was telling the message of God. He was proclaiming the word of God. You see, the devil didn't want him to get up to that place. And he doesn't want us to get up to that place. He don't want us to get up to where we can share the word of God, where we can tell the old story, where we can tell about Jesus. He wants to keep us down where we won't do that. He wants to keep us discouraged where we won't do that. Praise be unto God. He was headed in the right direction. I said, I was going to give you 3 men. He said, preacher, I just don't know where you're going from here. Well, just hang on. We see an old Job, an example of somebody that was doing right, but he was brought down because of those trials and tribulations that the Lord might bring him up and lift him up. And then we see in Jonah one that because of disobedience, he was brought down away from God and away from his will. But thanks be unto God, he didn't wait too late. And he got right with the Lord. And he got things right with the Lord. And the Lord began to lift him up. And the Lord began to help him, began to bless him. And the word of God was proclaimed. But then not only that, the best thing to do is just to go ahead and humble yourself. Amen. The best thing to do, go ahead and humble yourself. Then when the trials and tribulations come, you already got the right perspective. You've already got, hey, you know what you're going to say? You're going to say, hey, it's just the grace of God that I've got anything. It's just the grace of God. You're going to realize, hey, if it wasn't for the Lord, hey, man, I'd be in hell. If it wasn't for the Lord, hey, anything's better than going to hell, amen? Anything's better than heading that direction. I want us to look at the example of Paul. Let me give you the example of Paul. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, he said, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. We see in old Paul an example of somebody that allowed himself to be brought down and humbled in the sight of God where God would help him and lift him up. We've been studying through the book of Philippians on Wednesday night. And let me give you a thought from there right quick. In the book of Philippians, we see that Paul was in prison. And while he was in prison, God no doubt taught him some lessons. And I've said before, I've said this about every Wednesday night under God. How in the world could he write from prison, Brother Tom, and talk to him about joy? But that's what he had to do. God said, that's the message you got to preach about joy while you're in prison. But you know what? God taught him a lesson, and he was brought down that God might lift him up. He says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4, he says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man think he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He could lift himself up. He could be lifted up with pride because of his accomplishments. But God turned him around. On that road to Damascus, he was changed. That was before Christ. The next few verses is after Christ. Verse 7 says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency. All things but loss to do I count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He said, before Christ he was lifted up in pride. After Christ he realized he was unworthy. He thought he was worthy of something. But after he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, he found out he wasn't worthy of anything of the blessings and the goodness of God. It was only by his mercy that God had spared his life this far. He'd have probably said, like I've heard folks testify before, I should have been in hell because of what I did to the church. I should have been in hell because of rejecting the Lord. But thank God he came and met me on the road to Damascus. And now I know I'm unworthy. Now I know that everything that I've built up, if I thought somewhere along the way there was some kind of scale that at the end God would put my goodness on one side and see if it outweighed my badness that was on the other side, he realized that none of that meant anything. Amen. He said it was done that I might win Christ. Let me show you. And I'm done. Let me show you something about his example here. One time he says, as he got a little bit more mature in the Lord, he got more humble. As he got a little bit more mature in the Lord, as he began to grow in the Lord, he started headed down. He brought himself down, and he went down and realized his unworthiness, and he realized that there wasn't nothing that was worth him doing anything for Christ. But it was all the grace of God. It was all the mercy of God. It was all him and none of Paul. Let me show you. First of all, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 9, he said he was the least of the apostles. That's what he said. He said, I'm the least of the apostles. He said, I am the least of the apostles that I might not meet to be called. Am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was given unto me. Hallelujah. He says, I'm the least of the apostles. And if you count me anything or you feel like I've done anything, it ain't me, it's the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. Hey, listen, as he began to grow in the Lord, he went a little further down. Amen? I mean, if you don't like the thought of when we get out of the will of God, God bringing us down, go ahead and humble yourself now. Go ahead and stay right with God and humble yourself now. If you don't like the thought of all those temptations and trials and valleys we go through that really will knock us off our feet sometimes, go ahead and humble yourself now. Go ahead and humble yourself before God now. We go through that. I mean, you could say, praise God, it doesn't matter what knocks me down. I've already humbled myself. I believe that's the reason Paul in the prison could lift his head up high. I believe that Paul and Silas, that's the reason one day they was in the inner prison. They could say, hey, let's open up the book and let's turn to page 57 and let's sing about the amazing grace of God. Hallelujah. Ain't that a blessing? That didn't bring him down that he was in jail. He had already humbled himself. He had already realized what God said in his word. He said, I'm the least of the apostles. Think about all the apostles. Put me on the bottom. But then as he began to grow, you say, well, preacher, as I begin to grow, you know, I'm arrived now, man, I'm really something. Well, Paul didn't feel like that. As he began to grow in the Lord, and you can even see this chronologically, he probably wrote about 56 A.D. or somewhere he wrote the book of 1 Corinthians. It was later in the prison he wrote another book. He wrote Ephesians. He wrote to the church at Ephesus later in his Christian life. And listen to what he said in the book of Ephesians. I'll get it right here in a minute. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. Did you get that? He said, I'm less than least of all the saints. Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? Notice Paul said first that I'm the least of the apostles. He began to walk with the Lord a little bit more, get a little bit closer to God, and allow God to humble himself a little bit more. And he says, well, I'm just the least of the saints. You think about any good Christian and just realize I'm just the least. I'm just nothing. He said, I'd just rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Amen. I'd just rather just come and whatever the Lord wants me to do, it don't matter. I'm the least of all the saints. You say, well, preacher, what in the world is going on? I think he's getting hold of that principle we read in James. I believe he's getting hold of that principle that if we'll just humble ourselves, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Humble yourself in the sight of God, and he'll lift you up. Well, there's no question that one of the last books he wrote was to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Listen to what he said here. I mean, he said it to the church at Corinth, he said, I'm the least of the apostles. He said to the church at Ephesus, he said, hey, I'm the least of the saints. But then in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, he said, I'm the chiefest among sinners. He said, I'm the chiefest among sinners. This is a saying and worthy of all acceptation. 1 Timothy 1, 15, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I like what I heard one preacher say. He said, if the Lord can save the chief, he can save all the Indians too. Amen. He said, I'm the chief of sinners. He said, preacher, that just don't make no sense. He said, first he's thinking he's the least of the apostles. Then he gets a little worse thinking in his mind that he's the least of the saints. And then he even gets a worse thinking in his mind that he's the chiefest among sinners. Do you know what he realized? That we need to always realize he was just a sinner saved by the grace of God. He was just a sinner. He was just an old sinner saved by the grace of God. If it wasn't for the mercies of God, he'd still be persecuting the church. He'd still be seeing Christians die and be killed. He'd still be defying the things of God and rejecting the love of God in his life. God had changed all that. God had took the chiefest of sinners. God had took the least of the saints. God had took the least of the apostles, as he said, in his own eyes, but he lifted him up and made him the greatest of the apostles. Made him the greatest missionary the world's ever seen. Made him the greatest preacher in the church age and used him to spread the gospel all through the Roman Empire. But you know what? He realized that the way up is down. He realized the way up is not for us to lift ourselves up and pat ourselves on the back, but for the Lord to humble us. As the scripture said in our text, be afflicted and mourn and weep. We might go through that. But let your laughter be turned in the morning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. I'd a whole lot rather the Lord do all the lifting and we not lift ourselves up. And we realize, I mean, if the Apostle Paul could say he was the least of the apostles, if he could say he was the least of the saints, if he could say he was the chiefest among sinners, we ought to always be humble before the Lord. We ought to always be humble because he was one of the greatest that God used. Used him to write 14 books of the New Testament, if you count Hebrews. Used him in a great way. But yet he had humbled himself before the Lord. Job went through the trials and the tests and everything and come out, praise God, better instead of bitter. Jonah, yeah, he got away from God. He was a disobedient to God. He was brought down because of disobedience. But thank God he started headed in the right direction. He started headed in the right path. And God lifted him up and seen those come back to the Lord and get saved. Amen. Ask Miss Davis, she would come around the piano. The Lord knows your heart. You want to come around and pray wherever the need might be. Won't you obey the Lord?